that you are the unlimited man of love, which is the Holy Son of God Himself. There's nothing to fear. I know it's hard to recognize there's nothing to fear if you want your fears to be true or real. And if you're feeling some fear right now, it just means you're trusting in your own strength. And what you want to do is recognize wherever you feel peace, that's an area of your life that you're aware of the presence of God. I know sometimes it can seem like there are things to worry about, things to be concerned about. But in truth, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. And just for an hour, I'd like to ask you just for an hour to open your mind to another way of looking at things. I'd like you to open your mind to the idea that you don't have to believe the ideas. You don't have to accept the ideas. You don't have to welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. Some of the ideas will be quite startling. You are not asked to analyze the ideas at all. It's their use that will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that they are true. We're going to be on page 381 in the text. We're going to finish up the section called the New Willingness. Start with paragraph 3, the very top of the page of 381. And I'm going to substitute some of the Course in Miracles definitions for some of the words to kind of give you a little modern language version of what I'm reading. But from a Course perspective, holy is the same as happy, same as loving. So when it says holy, I'm going to say happy. And the first sentence says, humility will never ask that you remain content with littleness. So being humble never asks that you be satisfied with being little. And then you call that being humble. Oh, who, me? Oh, no, not me. Humble. He says, but humility does require that you be not content with less than greatness that comes not of you. What a sentence. Well, so humility does require that you not be satisfied with anything less than a greatness that comes from God. Everybody got that? Okay? That you shouldn't ever be satisfied with a greatness that doesn't come from love. Then it says, your difficulty with the happy instant arises from your fixed conviction that you're not worthy of it. So a person's difficulty with having an instant of peace and happiness only comes from a fixed conviction at some level that you're not worthy of it. So something that I have difficulty with is coming from my fixed conviction that I'm not worthy of it. So that would mean that a person is having a hard time being happy and a person is having a hard time being peaceful is a person that at some level doesn't believe that they deserve it. If it's always hard for you to have peace, or hard for you to have happiness, or hard to have a relationship that's peaceful, or hard to have anything, the Course is saying, you know, basically it's not coming from something outside yourself. It's really coming from a fixed belief that you're not worthy of the thing you think you want. And the less you think you're worthy of it, the harder it is to achieve it. That's different. I thought it was hard to achieve because of something on the outside. I didn't know it was hard. The reason why things are hard for me to achieve at the level of peace is because there's some part of me that doesn't think I deserve it. And if I don't think I deserve it, that's the thing in my life that I'm seeing as hard to achieve.
Yes.
So that's deep. That's deep. That's deep. I say it again. The thing that you see as being hard to achieve within yourself is the thing that you subconsciously, and I say the word subconsciously, don't believe you're worthy of. Now, he says, believing that you are not unworthy of something, he says, that's your determination to be the way you want to make yourself. Whew. So if you tell me that you're not worthy of something, or you tell me that you don't deserve something, or you tell me that there's something missing in you, something wrong with you, then the Course is saying that's our determination to be the way we want to see ourselves. So that's our determination to be what we want to make out of ourselves.
That's
insane. Why? He said, well, because, you know, God didn't create God's dwelling place unworthy of God. You know, if you weren't created unworthy of love. So everything that we tell ourselves about being unworthy is just a story we're making up about ourselves, that has absolutely nothing to do with the way love sees us. Because love wouldn't enter into a bunch of crap. God wouldn't enter into it. So why would I build a house to live in that would collapse on me? Why would I build a house to live in that wasn't worthy for me to be in it? That's what the Course says. Why do we think that we don't deserve love? And if we do, he says, that's you believing that you are not worthy of it, which is the way you want to see yourself, because you're the only one that's making yourself see yourself that way. Right? And then he says, and if you don't see yourself as being worthy, then every time you try to be happy, it's going to look like it's difficult for you. And there's the explanation as to why people think it's hard to be happy. That's a different explanation, which was, you know, like what I was suggesting at the beginning, to be willing to hear another perspective of what's going on. And this is another perspective. And it's so loving that it can be frustrating. But, you know, I had to ask myself one day, the way that I see myself, no matter how I was brought up, who's making me see myself that way? Hello? Okay, I'll say it again. Who's making me see myself the way I see myself? Okay? So is it true for you too? Is it true for you too? Is the way you see yourself the way you're telling yourself to see yourself? Okay, so is that not the way you're determined to make yourself be? Okay, that's what the book is saying, right? He says, well then, that makes it hard for you to be happy, so stop being satisfied with less than what you deserve. But what you really deserve is more than you can give yourself. It's like, okay, Earl's ready to be great. Okay, Cole says, that's cool. Now, part two is for you to realize that the greatness that I'm talking about is a greatness that you can't give yourself.
Wow.
Right. It's not going to come from your achievements. It's not going to come from your ambitions. It's not going to come from your visualization. It's not going to come from the secret.
Good thing.
It's not going to come from the law of attraction. It's not going to come from it's not going to come from anything the human mind can make up. The level of greatness that this book is talking about is a greatness that can only come from our Creator God. And I love that. So my difficulty with having a happy life is I'm the one who doesn't think I'm worthy of it, which means I got some ideas about myself that I'm determined to be true. And the Course says, hold it. God wouldn't create something that wasn't worthy of God. So there is no way that you are not worthy of happiness, because you were created by God. You didn't create yourself. You just created what you're making yourself think about yourself. And the Course says, well, that's your determination to be the way you want to be. It's your definition of you. When you say you're a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a human, a secretary, a doctor, of course, that's just the way you labeling yourself. That's just a label you putting on yourself. God isn't putting that label on you. You putting that label on you. And then you try to hold yourself up to all these standards and ideals that you make up. And then if you don't live up to them, you feel unworthy, and your life becomes a struggle. Because it's your thoughts that's creating your experience. So if I believe I'm unworthy, happiness is going to be difficult for me.
Yeah.
That's what the Course is saying. It ain't about your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, the economy, or nothing else. If you're having a hard time and you're not having inner peace, it's because of what you are telling yourself. And it's telling you, before you get all caught up in that, and before you want to be right more than you want to be happy, and before you start defending why it really is something else that's the problem, let me remind you, well, you were created by God, and God would not create his dwelling place unworthy of God. So therefore, you must be worthy of happiness. And why don't you focus on that? You are worthy of happiness.
Right.
You are worthy of love. Okay, let's go on down. I'm not asking for questions right now because I don't want to mess up the vibe. Okay? Because all the question and answer start doing, it just messes up the vibe. And I don't want to mess up the vibe right now. And, you know, don't argue with me about you deserve happiness. I'm not going to even go there with you. Okay? A lot of people say, look, the ones who say they like to come to my group, one of the reasons why they say they like to come to it is that they get a chance to hear the Course and not everybody's story.
And they
don't hear everybody's analyzation and everybody's else's idea of what they think is right or what's true. You know, and that's the way I like it. That's why I like my class, too. Because, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear what your ego got to say, and I don't want to tell you what mine got to say. I just want to share what's on the page. You know, none of us are interested in each other's opinions. Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody got one.
That's right.
So most of them say, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That doesn't mean at some point I won't throw it open for people to share whatever they want to share. Okay. So I just want you to hear the logic of the Course. I just want you to hear the logic of the Course for a minute. Would you be willing to hear the logic of the Course for a minute? Okay. Logic number one says being humble isn't you being content with being some little insignificant, bashful, shy, unexpressive person who puts yourself down. Then it says, don't be content. Now, who's better at that than us? And then it says, don't be content with what? Being little, right? Having less than the greatness that comes from love. That's God. See, I want the greatness that comes from God. Then it says, why is it difficult for you to have peace the holy instant? Why is it difficult for you to have happiness? Well, I love this when he says, your fixed determination. I like the way this book is written. He says, it's because you got a fixed determination, a fixed conviction that you're not worthy of it. He says, that's your determination to make yourself what you want to be. And God would not enter something that isn't loving, because God wouldn't create something that wasn't loving. So therefore, you do deserve to be happy and peaceful and joyful. Okay. Then it says, now, if you believe that love can't enter where love would be, you take the course says, read me slowly. That's why I'm taking one sentence at a time. Because it doesn't make any difference about how much of the course you cover. The only thing that matters is how much you remember. You know what I mean? Because every sentence is a universal law. If you read it right, you'll see that every sentence is complete. You could just stay with one sentence, and that one sentence will take you into all truth. For instance, does the next sentence say, if you believe God cannot enter where God wills to be, and what does that mean? If you believe that love can't enter you, if you believe that abundance and peace and joy cannot enter you, all those are words that define God in a sense. The Course says, you must be interfering with God's will. So, if a person is not at peace, they're interfering with God's will. Because God's will is that they have perfect peace. So if I don't feel peaceful, then I'm interfering with the will of love.
Yeah.
Boom. All right. He says, how do you interfere with God's will? Believing that God can't be where God wills to be. He says, believing that love cannot be where love wills to be. If I believe that love can't be in me, I'm interfering with God's will. If I'm believing that peace can't be with me, abundance can't be with me, union can't be with me, relationship can't be with me, then I am interfering with God's will. Then people say, well, how am I interfering with God's will? Because I don't believe I'm worthy of it. That is the interference. I'm putting myself down. I am judging myself. I am judging others. I am criticizing myself. That is your interfering with the will of God. Every time you put yourself down, you're interfering with the will of love. Every time you say you're unworthy of love, you're interfering with love. So every time I feel guilty, I'm interfering with love. Because guilt is the belief I'm unworthy and I deserve to be punished. So guilt is an interference with God's will. And in a society based on guilt, it's pretty obvious why there's so much misery in the world. All of a sudden, it becomes very clear why there's so much misery in the world, because our society is based on the idea that guilt is good. So that's the same as saying our society is based on the idea of interfering with God's will. It's based on interfering with God's will, which is the will of love. That's deep. So what I like about the Course is that if you keep reading it, you'll hear things you probably never heard in your life the way that you hear it. That's what I love about it. It constantly says things to me in a way that's never been said to me before, if I let myself hear it. But what happens is we have a feeling, which is great, no matter what that feeling is, right? We have feelings, okay? All of our feelings are where? Inside of who?
Me.
Inside of us, right? So if your feeling is inside of you, then the way you feel about your feeling determines how you feel. If your feelings are inside of you, the way that you feel about your feelings determine how you feel. For instance, if I feel sad or angry, and I tell myself that something is wrong with that because according to my judgments, right, my idealized self, I'm judging my feelings. So I have a feeling and I judge whether it's good or bad, worthy or unworthy, or a feeling I should have or a feeling that I should not have, right? So my feelings are innocent. I'm the one judging them. All your feelings are innocent. You're the one that's judging them. So when I stop judging my feelings pass through me, and then that lets the love come in. So every time you have a feeling, and you let yourself have that feeling without judging that feeling will change to a higher feeling. But when you have a feeling and you judge that feeling, I shouldn't have that feeling, that's a bad feeling, that's a guilty feeling, that's an unworthy feeling. Well, then your judgment of your feeling is what makes you feel unhappy. If you are angry, you don't have to say you are not just to be spiritual. You know, if you really want to be spiritual, you're honest about how you feel in the moment, and you're in total integrity with yourself by being honest about how you feel and accepting all your feelings as the way you feel. So that's what the Course is saying. Why is happiness difficult for a person that believes that they are not worthy of it? Because if they believe that they're not worthy of it, they won't let God's will manifest in their lives. They won't let the happiness come because they believe they're not worthy of it. So you're not being humble when you do self-debasement. It's not humility to go, oh, I'm not enough, I'm not smart enough, no, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not good enough, you know, I'm just little me. You just interfering with God's will. And all of a sudden, I see why I have what? Difficulty. Because I'm saying to God, you know what? You created me, but you're not worthy to be, I'm not worthy for you to be in me. And then God goes, I'm sorry, it's impossible to shut out what's already there. What do you think your life is? Your life is God. Why do you think you're able to sit up here and say you're alive? That is God. I was so glad when I found out God wasn't an insane man in the sky. God. How anybody else didn't feel the same way? You know, she was just so glad that God wasn't this insane man in the sky. Trying to run a universe and then at the same time being concerned about the length of your skirt.
When I was raised Catholic, and you know, I used to have these dreams about, you know, these flying babies in purgatory, because they always said that the babies that died went to purgatory that weren't, you know, whatever they were supposed to be. It was very weird, and I never saw it.
You know something? You know what's so weird? What's weird to me is that a person can believe that, but they say it's weird if you tell a person that their thought creates their reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
That just blows my mind. You know, people will say stuff like that is weird, but then they don't have any problem believing in babies with wings flying around in purgatory. You know, it's hard for me to understand that kind of reasoning. But you know what? Everybody's gonna make it because everybody already has. So you know, so that's cool. You know, you can have whatever fantasy, like the Course said, you can have whatever insane fantasy you want to have. You still are worthy of love because of who created you. So while you're making yourself miserable with the thoughts you're making up about yourself, you're still cool. It's just you're pretty miserable, but that's because you're determined to be that way. That's what this piece of fixed determination. I have a fixed conviction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even argue with you about this. I know it's this way, even though it's making me miserable.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to even question that. That's a fixed conviction to be miserable.
It's amazing how many people make excuses.
Mm.
You know, just to cover up the fact they don't want to own how they feel. You know?
And what's so cool about this? This next line is what's so cool. He says, you do not need the strength of willingness to come from you.
Well, that is so
good. I'll say it again. That's good news. It takes a while for that. It takes a while for us to actually hear the good news. I'll say it one more time. It says right here. It says, oh yeah, anybody need a book? I got three books over here. You know. So, there's no excuse. Oh. He says, on page 381, he says, you do not need the strength of willingness to come from you, but only from God's will. Okay? The holy instant, which is your happy instant, your peaceful instant, your loving instant, right, doesn't come from your little willingness alone. Okay, here we go. That's one of those obvious truths that sound crazy when somebody says it to us. He says, the happy instant doesn't come from your little willingness alone. That's true. If happiness came from your little willingness on your own, you'd already be happy. That's just straight up. He's saying, isn't it obvious to you that your willingness to be happy doesn't make you happy? You're talking, everybody you know is trying to be happy. Right? So isn't it obvious that happiness doesn't come from anybody's little willingness? Because everybody got a little willingness to be peaceful, a little willingness to be happy, you know? The Course says, well, the strength to do this isn't going to come from you. It's going to come from your Creator. Uh-oh, that's the problem. See, this whole Creator issue is my problem. You know, because, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I created myself, by the way. I love that. I came from a sperm you made with an egg. That's where I originated from. And once that happened, and I was popped out, I was on my own. That's what the Course said, a separated man lives his life. Like it just came from out of nowhere, and then it's got to try to figure out how to make itself happy before it dies. And so all its life, it come up with different ways to deceive itself about what happiness really is. And that separate mind calls it, it goes by the term, my plan. My goal. Okay? So the Course says, let me give you a different premise. You are worthy of happiness because of what created you. And the happiness that you're looking for isn't going to come from your little will, bad self, separate from what created you. That's just straight up. He says, if you really want to have the happy instant, the peaceful instant, did it say always? It says the happy instant is always the result of your small willingness combined with the unlimited power of God's will. So happiness comes from me having a little willingness to be happy combined with the unlimited willingness of the universe for me to be happy, of God for me to be happy. I love it. So it goes something like this. You know, if you got, you know, just a 25% willingness to be happy. Okay. And that's really advanced.
That's good.
If you got a 25% willingness to be happy, then God has a 75% willingness for you to be happy, 100% willingness. So what the Course is saying is that your little willingness to be happy combined with the unlimited willingness of God for you to have happiness will produce your happiness. But we don't do it that way. We have our desire to be happy and don't give a hoot about God, which is our Creator, which isn't a man or a woman. But it has an ideal shape of itself as a man and woman because it can take any form at any time because it's all it. Which is cool. Does that make sense to everybody? You want something on your own without the will of God is not going to produce what you want. Because in order to have what you want, you have to have 100% desire for it. It has to be a total willingness. So spirit takes up the slack. But spirit wants us to have peace, joy, love. I want a car. Mm-hmm. people ask for a cop better than they ask for peace.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah. Yeah. People always ask for things quicker than they ask for a state of consciousness or a state of being. They don't realize that it is your state of consciousness that determines your physical experience. So there's nothing more important than to ask for the right state of mind. For people, but it's so funny. And people think stuff is going to give them the right state of mind. You know, but stuff is neutral. Stuff is neutral. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just neutral. But if you have a fixed determination to see yourself as unworthy, then even if you get the stuff, you're going to make yourself feel unhappy about it because of a basic sense of you don't deserve to be happy. You just have more stuff and prettier stuff to be unhappy about. You'll have a bigger, prettier house to be unhappy about.
Possession, obsession.
But we all heard that before, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what's unusual about what we read now? What's unusual about what I heard it there is he said it's always happiness, which is the holy instant peace, love, is always the result of your... I love that. I can do small willingness. Mm-hmm. So he says it's a result of your small willingness combined with the unlimited power of God's will. And the Course in Miracles defines a couple of the definitions of will. One is mind. One is thought. So God's will is God's thought, God's mind, love's thought, love's mind. Okay, so it's my small willingness combined with love's mind. It's my small willingness combined with the truth that produces real happiness. We're talking about the real happiness that's not dependent on the presence or the absence of a material thing. Real happiness. Okay? Then the next sentence says, and here's another universal law. You have been wrong.
Just stop there.
Yeah, that's why I take it slow.
Really?
Yeah, first thing to realize is you have been wrong. Then the ego mind goes, in what? Right? And then he says what? In thinking.
Yeah. Stop there.
Stop right there. What is it that I'm thinking that is wrong? That it is needful to prepare myself for God. You have been wrong in believing you need to prepare yourself for God. I need to prepare myself for love. I need to prepare myself for happiness. I need to prepare myself for abundance. This book says, you are wrong. Now, who in the room, be honest, which one of you feels an uneasiness or some resistance around the idea of not preparing yourself for happiness, preparing yourself for love? All right. Would you say most people are trying to prepare themselves in some way or another? Notice the track record. Notice the track record. Notice how many people are really successful in having total fulfillment, and then at the same time, notice how many people that are trying to prepare themselves for it. The book says, you know, just take a look at the now moment. Let's talk about the Course. You know, you don't have to, it's not theoretical. All you got to do is just open your eyes and you'll see the truth, the obviousness of the truth. So, maybe true happiness comes from me not trying to prepare myself for love, for God, for truth. Not trying to prepare yourself for something isn't the same as remembering something. It's okay to remember the truth. It's okay to remember where happiness comes from. It's okay to focus on where love comes from. But it's wrong to try to prepare yourself for love, because in your preparation for love, you're reinforcing the idea that it's not already in you and that it's not already there. So that's why you got to go out and prepare, because it's not there. I got to prepare because it's not there. I got to prepare myself for somebody to love me means I'm not lovable now.
Yeah.
And if I'm not lovable now, what time am I going to be lovable? Because the past is gone. I'm sorry, I'm from the South. Gone. And the future is not yet.
Yes.
See, I'm here. Here's the future. This might happen. This is over there. It's in the future. Oh, my happiness was when I was in the third grade. When I played that pumpkin in the play. My life went downhill from there. Okay, but what about me being lovable now? The way I am now. Well, if I'm lovable now, then it can come to me now, which is the only time it will. So what would keep it from coming to me? What I tell myself about myself right now. I don't care what my daddy said about me. I don't care what somebody might say about me tomorrow. What is determining the way that I feel is what I'm telling myself right now. Now, am I telling myself right now that my small willingness combined with the will of God would produce what I want right now? No. Am I telling myself that I will not be satisfied with anything less than the greatness that comes from God? No. Am I telling myself I'm completely worthy of happiness and peace and joy, completely because I was created by God and there's no way that God can enter where God wants to enter? No. Well, that's why you're not happy, fool. Why? Because I'm not thinking correctly, and it's my thought. When I said fool, I'm talking about my own ego. I'm not talking about you. Oh, anybody else's ego can be strong in that? Oh, cool. Cool. I tell you. My ego stopped really trying to get me when I accepted that I had one. And as long as I pretended that I didn't, or as long as I tried to get rid of it, it was always trying to prove to me it was there. So I love when people say, I gotta get rid of my ego, and I hate my ego. It's like your ego feed off of those kinds of thoughts. It loves you to go, I'm going to get rid of my ego, and I hate my ego. Ego's like, oh yeah, you're setting up a battle with something that doesn't exist. And you know that's going to be upsetting. And tiresome. Could you imagine if you were standing in the middle of the room all day going, trying to knock out nothing? That's deep, man.
It sure is.
So people wake up in the morning, I'm going to go out here today and knock out nothing. Spend my whole day battling my thoughts, what I believe about myself. I love it. God. So I went, yes, I have an ego. I feel my ego. My ego tells me this. My ego tells me that. This is the way I feel. I'm embracing my ego. I'm embracing my fear. I'm embracing my anger as being a feeling I'm having in this moment. And it's my call for love. So every time I have one of those feelings, I'm going to say that feeling is my call for help. I'm sad today, that's my call for help. I'm gonna give those feelings a job. You know what I'm saying? Depression, you a call for God. Sadness, you a call for love. You better give them a job. That way when you feel that feeling, it'll become a prayer. I'm mad anyway, it just went through me some good.
Oh, yeah.
Right? See, that's too easy.
Can you explain that? I missed that completely.
Yeah. If I were to redefine what my feelings mean, then I would receive the new meaning I've given my feeling. Because everything that's coming to me is coming to me as I define it in the meaning I give to it, right? So if I'm angry and I say, that's my call for peace, that's my call for love, then every time I get angry, it would draw peace to me. Because that's what I really want when I'm mad for real. If I'm sad, what I really want is happiness. So, it would be, in the old man, when I was sad, it just called more sadness and more sad people. Now, when I feel sad, I'm asking for the love that within me that would take the sadness away. So the sadness actually becomes a request for my peace. So I don't have to fight my sad feelings anymore or my happy feelings, because both sets of feelings bring me love. Because I have learned that I'm worthy of happiness. And since very little that other people say to us mean as much as the person that we feel is most special to us, then it's very important that the people who are most special to you are the people who recognize that you're worthy of happiness the most, because it's what they said it carries the most weight. So for your most intimate friends or lovers to be people who are not constantly reinforcing your value is being in bed with the enemy. You know, that's like me marrying a Ku Klux Klan woman. That lady ain't gonna get up every morning and say black power. She gonna get black power and do it on, you know what I'm saying? You know, but that's what I watch people do. They form relationships with people who don't reinforce their value, and then wonder why they don't think they're worthy of happiness, and so therefore they don't combine their willingness with the willingness of God, because they don't even think they deserve it. And then they just have what? Hard time being happy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next sentence.
Oh, dear.
Take a breath. It's tough to receive this much help. Yeah, I mean, what could be easier than being told you don't need to prepare yourself? When in most cases you're judging yourself because you think you haven't prepared yourself enough, right? And then it says it is impossible to make arrogant preparations for happiness or love or peace. I say it again, it's impossible to make arrogant preparations for holiness. You know why? Because if you make preparations for your happiness or peace, you're going to believe it's up to you to establish the conditions for your peace. If you believe your happiness is up to you by yourself, then you're going to believe it's up to you to come up with the things, the people, and the conditions that will make you happy. If my happiness comes only from me, then I got to come up with the way for me to be that way. See, you're going to make arrogant preparation as soon as you think everything is up to you by yourself. Right?
Yeah.
And here's the problem with that. If I get ready to make an arrogant preparation, which I call my treasure map, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to manipulate all the people and situations and circumstances in my life so that everybody in there helps me get what I want. I'm immediately start manipulating people. Because as soon as I come up with my plan, then I'm gonna try to manipulate my plan into being. I'm going to start making my arrogant preparations because I'm just responsible for my happiness. Then I'm going to hold a grievance against anybody I've assigned a role to that they didn't do their part, whether they want to or not. And if they don't want to play the part I've decided they should play to make me happy, I'll say they don't support me, and I'll go to therapy so I can learn how to forgive them, which is good. Everybody hear that? As soon as it's like me walking in here and saying, my happiness depends on you coming up and giving me a great big hug and kiss 10 times a day. Okay, now I've immediately set up a difficult achievement for myself, right? Because I'm trying to assign a role to her that will make me happy. That's my arrogant preparation for holiness, because I believe that I've got to make myself happy because I'm leaving out my creator, my higher self, God. So don't feel guilty because you'll be disobeying God's will. Don't beat yourself up at all about what you just heard, or you're disobeying God's will, which is your happiness, your peace. We're not receiving this to feel guilty. We're receiving this so we'll stop making ourselves feel guilty. Okay? So the next line says what? It says it's impossible to make arrogant preparations for holiness and happiness and not believe that it's up to you to establish the conditions for peace. But guess what? God has established, love has established the conditions for your peace. What created you has established the conditions for your peace. In the Bible, it's sort of like, you know, the same force that created the cow is the same force that created the grass that the cow lives off of. They were both created at the same time. So at the moment you were created, everything that will sustain you was created at the same time. Just like with a cow, just like with a bee, just like with anything else. Now, people say, well, why am I not being sustained, right? It's because you then made arrogant preparations for your happiness by coming up with your own ideas about what you think will sustain you. And you forgot the real things that sustain you. And the Course is trying to get us back in touch with the real things that sustain us. Everybody following me on this? Same time the cow was created was the same time the grass was created. The same time you were created, the same time everything that sustains you were created. But the cow isn't sitting in the pasture trying to come up with what to eat tonight. It's like the cow sitting there going up, you know, what I think really would sustain me would be nothing but candy bars. And then it goes out after the candy bars, eats the candy bars, gets sick, and dies. Why? Because the cow really is sustained by eating grass. We are doing the exact same thing. We're making up the things that we think will sustain us that do not sustain us, and we die. Have you ever wondered why we die?
Candy bars.
Candy bars. And I know some Almond Joy is going to check me out. Oh, Jones, a 499. It's an Almond Joy death. It's another one. He should have been sustained by the love of God, but he was sustained by Almond Joy. Because I'm making up my own substance. Is that true?
Yes.
Of course it's true.
Yes.
We'll do one more sign. We'll try to finish this paragraph. The Course is so in your face. Uh-huh. It makes you so aware of how much faith or non-faith you have. Right. Immediately, you have to come out of denial with the Course of Miracles. Mm-hmm. Everybody that believes they're on their own feels completely uncomfortable with the idea of calling on something greater than themselves. Mm-hmm. Nothing spooks them out more than that.
You wrote down 25%. I was thinking like 2%.
But you know, but what's so cool about having 2% willingness is that the way it's set up is that if you really had 2% willingness, then 98 is there. 98 is there. Yeah, crack that door open. That's it. You just need just a little. If you got a little bit of willingness, then you have enough.
Otherwise,
it'll
be dependent on us.
Oh, else I'll be different. Thank you. And that's the game here. The game here is to convince ourselves that we are autonomous, separate, on our own. That's it. That's the whole game here. You know. But there are some of us who know that's not true, and they want to get rid of everything that makes them think it is. And that's the purpose of, you know, the advanced mind training workshops that I'm doing once a month. Is that I want to join with the people who want to remember, and they're not arguing about that. They're not arguing about that. They know they want another way. They're not here to argue about that. That's so deep. Could you imagine what would happen if we could go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper together? It would save so much time. It would save, and that's what I'm shooting for. You know, and it's been quite a reception to that, you know. And I'm glad to see that, you know, I had set up, I wanted 20 people to come to this thing. And it's been, what I'm going to focus on right now is increasing my feelings of worthiness and increasing not judging my feelings and realizing that all I need is a little willingness to let Spirit teach me what the conditions of my peace and happiness are. Because it's not what I've made up so far or I would already have peace.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, if there is a such thing as my grass, quote unquote, the thing that really where my true joy is, obviously I don't know what it is because I've been trying all my life to create it for myself on a permanent basis. I haven't been able to do it on a permanent basis. Then God, I'm saying to you publicly, you know, your God is in me and outside of me and surrounding me. I'm telling you, this brother right here is saying to you, I have a little bit of willingness to really be taught where my real joy and fulfillment is. If you walked out of here with just that one idea in your mind, you would shake the pillar of the foundation of any of your fear. So it's not about remembering everything we heard. It's about remembering one thing we heard. And once you make that declaration, watch out. Because your life will begin to rapidly readjust itself, and you'll start, your perceptions will start to change really, really fast, and you'll be constantly led to new situations, circumstances, people, and perception that will be able to show you what the conditions of your happiness and peace are. And you'll be able to recognize them by how much they recognize you. In other words, you can recognize them because they'll be recognizing your value.
Yes.
And you'll know you're recognizing yourself when you are recognizing your value. The self you don't like is not you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's impossible to love a self you don't like. So the spiritual path is not about learning how to love a you don't like. And so you're becoming spiritual if you start to love the you that you can't stand. The Course is saying the you can't stand or that you criticize or that you feel is not worthy, that is by definition not really you. That's just an image you made up that you're determined to see as yourself. That interferes with God's will, which is that you have perfect happiness, which you don't know how to give yourself, and so therefore you need to be taught how and where it's located and how to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the purpose of these courses and this class. It's for people who are willing to admit they don't know. It's not for the people who think they know. Because you can't teach a person that thinks they know. You know, it's like, what's the most closed mind that I know? It's the person who thinks they know. The Course says an open mind is a mind that has doubt, but is willing to be taught. So if you have doubts right now, but you're willing to be taught, you have an open mind. And I believe there's a lot of people in this room with an open mind. So, Sunday, I'm going to do this. I'm going to end what you've done in the past or you're seeing the way you are right now. So, no matter what people do to me, I try to remember or don't do. I try to remember, I'm just seeing what I learned and what I experienced and what I've done in my own past. So, if I condemn them, I'm condemning myself. And that's deep. You know, I don't want to interfere with God's will. Purdy wants to party. He wants to have a great time. He wants to enjoy his life. You know, and I don't care about nobody enough to have a grievance.
Right.
We all want to come to the party party.
Yeah, you just want to come to the party party. The party party. Your party wants to party all the time. See, it sounds like the right people on the way. It sounds like a prayer about to be answered. See, it seems like the conditions of my happiness are being revealed. You know, and I didn't even know what it was.
I
have a message on my cell phone that says I need more Earl Purdy. I don't know if you'll come, but I need more.
Well, I promise you, I'll do anything for you all that I don't see as a sacrifice and that I don't want to do.
Uh-huh.
I promise you'll get that from me every time. I'll be be right there for you. I love you enough to only do what I want to do with you.
Right.
Is that a good thing? You know, there's nothing that gives me greater joy than doing something with somebody that they want to do it with me. I used to spend so much time trying to get people to want to do what I wanted to do, and they didn't want to do it. And I would tell you, if you love me, you would.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got up that old track. So let's say a prayer together, shall we?
Oh, shall we?
Shall we?
Let us pray.
Let us pray. This is the prayer. I have been wrong in thinking that I need to prepare myself. I have been wrong in thinking that I need to prepare myself for happiness and truth. God has established the conditions of my happiness and peace. That which created me also created the conditions for my happiness. I am willing for you to make it possible to teach me what those conditions are. I am willing to learn what the conditions of my happiness are. I am willing to learn what the conditions of my happiness are. I am willing to learn what the conditions of my happiness are. I will no longer maintain that I am unworthy. I will no longer maintain that I am unworthy. I will no longer maintain that I am unworthy. I do not need to make myself different. I do not need to make myself different. I do not need to make myself different. I didn't make me, and so I don't have to make myself different. I didn't make myself, and so I don't have to make myself different. I can be reached right where I am. Happiness can reach me right where I am, because that's the only place it can get to me. Amen. Okay, I appreciate you, Holy Spirit. I will see you next time. EarlPurdy.com. All my classes are available online at EarlPurdy.com. That's the sign. That's the registration for the June 16th workshop. It's right over there on the table. It'll be the third Saturday in July. Yeah. It'll be the third Saturday, and each one will be different.
I will hug you and kiss you 10 times a day.